wisdom. We're calling it teaching wisdom to our children and to our young people. And we've looked so far at wisdom lost, wisdom revealed, and we're looking at 8 ways now in which to pursue wisdom. And we looked at 2 of those ways last time, and we've got 6 ways to go now. And in this class, mostly I've been talking to parents, and young people have been listening and seeing the applications I'm making to them. This morning, I'm just going to reverse it, and I want to really give these 6 remaining 6 ways to young people directly. And you parents can sit in and listen and say, these are the things I should be teaching them. But it's going to work better if I can appeal directly to them on this particular subject. So I want to read from Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 15. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we conclude this subject of wisdom this morning, we know that we've only still scratched the surface, but we pray, please help us to expound 6 more ways to pursue wisdom in the Lord Jesus Christ for our dear young people and children, but also for us as parents. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just say, first of all, to the young people that are here, I really appreciate your being here. I like to think that it's wisdom that brings you here, and that you realize that in this family living class, you're learning things now that will stand you in good stead one day when you get married and have children, but also that you can just learn from the things that I'm trying to teach for yourself. So I probably should have said it a long time ago, but I just want to say thank you for coming to this class. I really appreciate it deeply, more than you know, that you're here. And as I was looking over this material this morning, I thought it's better, as I said, to just speak directly to you and let your parents sit in on this one. So we looked at 2 ways to pursue wisdom already. The first was, if you were here last time, that learning starts with trust. And we looked at the nature of faith and how you need to lean on the Lord, and you've got to trust Him and His wisdom. And then secondly, we looked at don't build your life on your brains. We talked about book smarts, people smarts, street smarts, and stubborn smarts. Now, the third is, aim your whole life at knowing God. Aim with your whole life at knowing God. You know, verse 6a, what we're doing, I remind you, is we're walking through this passage in Proverbs 3. Verse 6a says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. But literally the text says in Hebrew, in all your ways know him. That's what acknowledge really means, of course. But all your ways know him. This is our wisdom, the knowledge of God. John Calvin said when he started out his institutes, I don't know what to talk about first, the knowledge of God or the knowledge of yourself, but both are necessary and both go together. And this is what life is all about, knowing God and knowing you. you know those two, you know everything that you need to know to live in comfort and to die in peace. John 17, verse 3 puts it this way, "This is life eternal, to know God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent." So our entire lives should be a quest for knowing God. Not just to get saved, but when we are saved, we want to know Him better and better and better. It's like a really great marriage. The really great marriages are where both husband and wife, no matter how many years they've been married, they want to get to know each other better, and they want to be with each other, and they want to understand each other. That's actually not common. It's scarce. And I would say to you that in the Christian faith, most Christians, after 10, 20, 30 years, sadly, have stopped living, for the most part, on the growing edge. And they're floating along. We're always prone to backslide. We're always prone to take for granted the valuable things in life. Blessed are those who every day are longing in their daily devotions to know God just a little bit better. That's where we admire Paul so much, don't we? That's what I love about Paul. "I'm determined to know nothing among you, Corinthians, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm determined to count everything but garbage, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection," he writes to the Philippians. Let that be the passion of your life. You know, when I was a student at Westminster Seminary, Sinclair Ferguson often said this to us. He said, "Put the best energy of your life, man, put the best energy of your life into preaching Jesus Christ." And I say to you this morning, young people, put the best energy of your life into knowing Jesus Christ and loving Him and serving Him and following Him. That's the way to live. Seek Him from beginning to end. Seek Him in every place, at every time. He's always there. Walk before Him in holiness. Trust His promises. Seek His face. And you will become wise. You see, wisdom doesn't just strike us out of heaven like a lightning bolt. Yes, some people have a sudden conversion experience, which is wonderful. Doesn't mean they're wise yet. Wisdom is a growing thing. It's a process of learning, growing one day at a time, enduring trials, profiting from affliction, being chastened by the Lord, being taught by God. And you see, if you go back to the well of the Bible and you drink of Christ each day in the Scriptures, by God's grace, you'll grow wiser with each passing year. But don't only go to the Bible, don't only engage in daily devotions this way, but communicate with other people who are wise. One of the best ways to get wise is to surround yourself with people who know God. Living people, and yes, dead people. People who've written their knowledge down in books. Spend time with the reformers, the Puritans. Spend time with people who've walked with God for decades and have stored up a treasure of wisdom. I know you often hear older people say, you know, "Don't spend so much time texting and don't spend so much time doing Facebook." You've probably heard that 100 times. I just want to say this to you. When you have free time, if that ever happens, I know you're busy too, but when you have free time, ask yourself this question: what can I do now, tonight, that will help me know God better? And if you made your decisions by that question, I'm sure you'd never be sorry. So, instead of asking the question, "Is this okay for me to do as a Christian?" or "What can I do to kill time?" Oh, I hate that expression. Time is so valuable. It's more valuable than money. Ask the question, What will bring me closer to God? What will strengthen my faith? What will make me grow in grace? Aim your whole life at knowing God in all your ways. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Know Him. Fourthly, cultivate godly optimism. Notice what verse 3:6b or chapter 3:6b says. It promises that if you seek to know God in all that you do, He shall direct your paths. Wow, that's awesome. You mean the God of the universe is so interested in me that He's going to direct my individual paths? If all I do by His grace is seek Him, to know Him, and seek to bring everything under Him? That's right. Now, the word direct in Hebrew, direct your paths, actually means to make straight or smooth. It's like taking an old country road full of bumps and potholes that wanders left and right and turning it into a smooth and straight and brand new highway. I was this week in North Carolina, and I've been to this conference 3 years in a row now, and the other two times they took me down all kinds of back roads and curves and got me to the site. And this time, my driver's just taking me down this smooth highway. And I said to him, "Aren't you going the wrong way?" He goes, "Well, it's a little longer, but it's a smooth ride." And I actually appreciated it. It was nice to just sit back and relax and, you know, avoid all those bumps. Well, when you live a life of simplicity, focused on God, there will be a smoothness, a straightness about your life that the world will envy, not only, but even other children of God could envy. And when you live with this focus, you know, as the Reformer said, coram Deo, in the face of God, do everything in the face of God, and you look to God, look to God to go with you, look to God to lead you, look to God to give you strength, look to God to give you joy. When you live in the context of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, He makes me to lie down in green pastures, etc. When you focus and center upon God that way, you can have an optimism about the Christian life and about your future and a peace in your soul that multiplies genuine wisdom. Doesn't mean you won't be disappointing yourself. Of course you will be. But wisdom is not doom and gloom. Wisdom is walking in the light of God's Word, knowing the joy of serving God and loving God and being loved by God and trusting in His goodness and mercy. And so we must cultivate the expectation that when we, by God's grace, walk with God, God will walk with us. Because He was the one that gave us the desire to walk with Him in the first place. And He will bless us. And even our sorrows will be turned into blessings. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, we will not need to fear, because He will be with us to protect us and comfort us. And He will bring us, in the end, to dwell in His house forever. As David put it in the last verse of Psalm 23, He will send out His shepherd dogs, grace and mercy. And just like shepherd dogs would go behind the sheep and nip at the back of their knees when they would start wandering out of the way and direct them back into the path and follow them all their life long. So God's goodness and mercy, you acknowledge Him in all your ways, He'll follow you with His goodness and mercy. You start going the wrong way, He'll come around behind you, nip you, chasing you a little bit and direct you back. All the ways till you dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's wisdom. Number 5, walk humbly. Walk humbly in the light of God's holiness. Now we move to verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Walk humbly in the light of God's holiness. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Think about how small you are, how sinful you are. Don't be cocky. Think about how big and great and righteous God is. Picture yourself as a tiny little person living at the foot of an awe-inspiring mountain, the mountain of God's perfect righteousness. Remember who you are. Remember who God is. And you won't be able to praise yourself in your own mind. A wise person is someone who crucifies all self-flattery and doesn't compare himself to other people. See, if you compare yourself to other people, there's always something you do better than some other people do, then you can start praising yourself. But if you compare yourself to God, His holy law, His incarnate Son, you'll stay humble and wise. And part of that walking humbly is keeping a sensitized conscience so that any sin or evil in your life will actually be a cause of sorrow and repentance. And anything that you do right in your life or anything that is good in your life is just a cause to praise God. You know, we all have different gifts. And we just have to use those gifts faithfully. Instead of wishing we had more gifts, use what you have. That's all that God asks of you. It doesn't ask you to use what you don't have. Some years ago, I heard my dear friend Sinclair Ferguson preach a message, and I was just so overwhelmed. I said to my wife, very stupid thing, but I said to my wife, "Wow, if I only had the gifts that Sinclair had, imagine how God could use me." And she said, "I think you better be satisfied with the gifts God has given you. And don't wish to be someone else." Say, yeah, you're right. You see, maybe you have gifts that I couldn't hold a candle to. You probably do somewhere. Of course you do. And maybe I have a few gifts that you don't have. So, as Calvin put it, when you become wise, what you understand is that the church needs each other. You need each other in the body of the communion of saints so that you can serve each other with a mutual distribution of gifts so that you can all grow in the knowledge of God. That's the whole purpose of church. That iron sharpens iron. So, when you do have a gift, instead of boasting in it, what you do is you say something like this: "Who has made me to differ from another? And what do I have that I have not received? And if I did receive it, why should I glory as if I had not received it?" Which, by the way, is what Paul said. Walk humbly in the light of God's holiness. Number 6, seek true healing in reverence and repentance. Notice verse 8 now. "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." You know, we live in a time when people run after healing and therapy of all kinds. Doctors, physical therapists, chiropractors, counselors, psychiatrists, all labor in various ways to bring healing to our bodies and minds. And they're all busy because people are going flocking to them all the time. And often, they do help us in our suffering, at least to some extent. But God is reminding us that deep and lasting healing only comes with humility, fearing God, and turning from sin. Our ultimate physician is Jesus Christ. And our ultimate medicine is repentance. And that medicine goes deeper than any human counselor can reach. Jesus Christ can bring order to the chaos of your mind and peace to your troubled heart. And He can strengthen you in soul and body so that you will share in His happiness when the King says to each of His faithful servants, "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." So, walk penitently and with reverence. It will be health to your navel, marrow to your bones. Number 7, a rather surprising one as we go on now in verses 9 and 10. Do you want to be wise? Worship God with your money. That's what verses 9 and 10 say. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits, not the last fruits, the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, if Solomon didn't do this, I probably wouldn't have done it. If you said to me, make a list of 8 ways to pursue wisdom, I don't think I would have put down one of them. Worship God with your money. But Solomon did. If you use your money to gain treasures in heaven, you will see clearly, your life will be full of light, Jesus said in Matthew 6. If you live, however, for treasures on earth, your eyes will be darkened and your whole life will be enveloped in darkness. So what does that mean? Does that mean that I tithe 10% of my money to the church? Well, probably. That's a starter. But it also means, can I give to things? Do I have means to give above and beyond that? To gospel and mercy ministries? Or am I in this business really just to get rich for myself? Paul warned Timothy not to do that. He said, that will enslave you to many foolish and hurtful lusts. And then number 8, submit to your heavenly Father's discipline. This is a very big one. Submit to your heavenly Father's discipline. Verses 11 through 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. The people that grow the most in wisdom are the people who learn to say when affliction comes, this is my Father's hand, and I will bow in quiet submission before him. And because we all know our own hearts, I hope, a little bit, probably every one of us feels a bit guilty when we hear that statement, because every one of us knows that deep down we're not very good at this. I've seen some people that are good at this, genuinely good at this, by the grace of God. And when I've left their presence, I've felt very spiritually immature. If you know people who know the art of humble submission before God, get around them. Go visit them. They'll do you good. It's a beautiful, beautiful, mature mark of grace when you meet people who are willing to surrender everything to God, also afflictions. And whether it's loneliness or betrayal by a close friend or problems in school or difficulty finding a job or sexual frustration in a marriage, perhaps, or a broken home, or an injury, or disease, whatever it is, if you are a believer, God is training you. That's what Proverbs 3 is saying, verse 11 and 12. God is training you in the school of holiness. You are working out in God's gym. He's exercising you. And when you exercise, you know what rule applies. It's not a very nice rule, but it's no pain, no gain. You've got to stretch yourself. That's what God does with us. And he says, be patient and endure hardship. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. True. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to them who are exercised thereby. So when sorrows come, we are to pray, Father, please let this pain yield good fruit in me. Use it to make me holy. Oh, that we would learn that lesson. Oh, we're such poor beginners in grace. Well, that leads me then to the conclusion, the riches of God's wisdom. Notice what verses 13 through 15 say now. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies and all the things you can desire not to be compared unto her. Wow, isn't that amazing? You know, money can be rather useful, can't it? I mean, how hard would you be willing to work if you could earn $1,000 a day for a month or two? Probably most of us would be willing to work 12 hours a day if that was the case. And we'd be willing to drive across America to get a job like that, perhaps. But you see, what the wise man says is $1,000 a day is pennies compared to God's wisdom. Psalm 119, verse 72 says, the law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. Therefore, seek wisdom, like silver and gold, as Proverbs 2, verse 4 says. You see, if you, as a young person, would work hard and long hours for big money, should you be lazy and half-hearted in pursuing wisdom, which is far more important than money? This is the quest of a lifetime. Put your heart into it. Give it your time. Give it your best. Start treasuring up wisdom now, while you're young. Read the best books now, the spiritual classics now. You remember them later. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. And lots of sins on my account, and just like yours. But I'll tell you one thing. There's one thing I did right in my life, by the grace of God, only by the grace of God, is I read a lot of wonderful, wonderful, spiritually mature books when I was a teenager. And those come back to me all the time. I'm so grateful for that. So grateful for that. And that's why I have such a passion to try to get books into your hands and say, read them. This will impact your whole life, and you'll remember it for your whole life. It will give you wisdom for your whole life. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Seek wisdom. And in so doing, you will plant seeds by God's grace that will bear fruit decades from now. And in turn, will bear fruit in your children, if the Lord tarries, and in your children's children, because you will be passing on that wisdom to them. Don't lean to your own understanding, but know God in all your ways, and He will direct all your paths. Let's pray. Gracious God of heaven, we thank Thee so much for wisdom and for its value. We thank Thee so much that wisdom personified sits at Thy right hand in the person of Emmanuel, God with us, and that He has deposited His wisdom by His Spirit in His book we call the Holy Bible, and works with that Spirit in our hearts to unite our hearts with the Scriptures. Oh God, help us to search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of Christ and yield eternal life. Please help us. Please help the young people. Please help us as parents to pursue, to cultivate wisdom with zeal, with passion, with patience, with humility, with reverence, with love. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Have a blessed Sabbath.